Blog Talk Radio.
Tell them, Sap. Let's go.
I've been through some storms. I've seen trying days. And I know what it is to think that things may never change. Even though I knew better, I couldn't pull myself together. Because my mind kept racing, focusing on all the things I was facing. But then I felt your touch in the moment when I needed love. You gave me something to believe in, and now I never want to leave.
It's gonna be you and me together. You and me forever.
Hey,
Lord, I pray every day, keep me in your love.
Oh.
It's gonna be you and me together.
Hey.
You and me forever.
Hey,
Lord, I pray every day, keep me in your love.
Ooh. You see, the devil tried to block me. And the devil tried to stop me, because I finally found out the way up is really going down.
Talk about it. Hey.
Down on my knees and pray, 'cause nothing can hurt me there. And though my facts are changing, now I see that the facts don't make me, because I have your touch. And at this moment, Lord, I need your love. Oh, you gave me something to believe in, and now I never want to leave.
It's gonna be you and me together.
Oh,
you and me forever.
Lord, I pray.
Lord, I pray.
And
every day.
Yes.
Mama still work from 3 to 3 to 3. We gon' make it. Check the checker, chain the chain, the check the check, the prayer to prayer, the EBT, the EBT, the E for free. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm with a good time with you, yeah. I'm with a good vibe with you, yeah. I'm with a cold night with you, whole night with you, know with you.
To the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and tonight I'm so blessed to be able to present to you Till Death Do Us Part for this Monday, February the 22nd, 2021. Now, recently I polled some of the couples that I counsel to find out some of their concerns about their marriages. So this program is here to serve as a reminder for married couples and to aid in the instructions of engaged couples on how to live a holy married life. But as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, just asking you, Father God, to bless this program. I pray that you bless our anointed couple tonight, Father God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we will be a help to our listeners who are married, Father God, and those who are planning to be married. Father God, just let your word go forth so that it might do what you would have it to do. I just pray this and all other things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to God. Saints, tonight I am being joined by a beautiful couple in the Lord, in the persons of Apostle Edwin and Prophetess Kathleen Holloway. Now, saints, tonight we're not here to give testimonials or to talk extensively about our own lives, but we are here to share with you what God has to say about marriage and how it should operate. Now, the way this program for tonight is set up, it's very simple. I have 10 statements about marriage. I will read a statement, and then I will ask Apostle or a Prophetess to answer a question pertaining to the statement that I just made only. And I'm asking that we keep our comments pretty brief because we do have a lot of people in here tonight. And I want us to be able to get to all of your questions and your comments. Amen. So let us begin. The first statement that I have is concerning lifelong commitment. Godly couples understand that marriage is a sacred and solemn covenant in the eyes of God. And as a result, they enter the relationship with the attitude that divorce is not an option. They understand that marriage is a lifelong commitment filled with triumph and defeat. Like Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The couple will press on toward the goal in both good and bad times. So, Prophetess Kathleen, if you had to define marriage, what words would you use?
Marriage is a union between a man and a woman, where they make their vows before God that they will live together in harmony. Like you said, till death do they part.
Yes, ma'am.
And that is saying how God for marriage to be. In Jesus'
Amen,
name.
Prophetess. Amen. That's a good answer right there. Hallelujah. Now, Apostle Holloway, the Bible says, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Apostle, what do you think it means to be one flesh?
That's the scripture God gave me before I left my church.
Amen.
The church that I was a member of, I had to go to the bishop. That's the scripture he gave me. One flesh, one. We are one. We're one in spirit. We're one in the Lord.
Sir.
After a period of time, you won't know who's talking. Because we got to a place that we're one. And you get to a place where one is thinking something and getting ready to say, and the other one answers with the gives the answer before you can get the statement out.
Amen. That's true. That's true. That's the truth. I know my husband and I, we would do that all the time. I would start a sentence and he would finish it. Hallelujah. Now, Apostle, yes. and to you, Prophetess, did you two, both of you, see lifelong commitments modeled in your family?
In my family, I didn't see that. There were a lot of divorces. And truthfully, when I got saved and started learning, you know, about the Lord and knowing the Lord,
yes, ma'am.
Then I knew there was hope. Because before
yes,
that, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, if I get married, then I got to get a divorce. That's what the devil was telling me. But then, after I met the Lord, I knew that there was hope. And God can give you scripture, verse, in the mouth of two.
Yes,
the mouth
ma'am.
Of two,
amen.
Which is, he will establish his word. He will make it plain to you as you seek God if you're to marry the person that you're looking to marry. So there
Amen.
Wasn't a whole lot of hope. My parents were divorced. My grandparents on my mother's side were divorced. Now on my father's side, it was different. His mother and father really did till death do us part. She married him when she was 12 years old. And he
Amen.
Was, I believe, he was 17, way back in the country. And she knew Jesus. And she stayed with him for, I don't
Amen.
Know, probably 70-something years. So I have both ways to look at
it. Well, that's
it.
Good. Thank you, Prophetess. What about you, Apostle?
On my mother's side, my grandparents, they were married for long. I mean, they were married for a long time, and there was the statement my grandfather gave to his children. There is no such thing as divorce.
Okay,
that's right.
And one of my cousins died because mama wouldn't let her get a divorce.
Mm.
Her husband.
Well, we will get.
I say that because you may get into a situation where there's an abusive husband,
We will address that. We have a program about specifically about that coming up, and we would like for you to share at that time. Right now, the second statement I have is shared spiritual intimacy. Now, thriving Christian couples have a deep shared faith. They consciously regard Christ as the foundation of their relationship, as stated in Ephesians 2:20. And they understand that a genuinely Christ-centered marriage is a marriage in which both partners actively acknowledge the presence and the authority of God, and where Jesus makes an observable difference in their daily lives. Let me see this. Okay, Miss Prophetess Kathleen. I know that I believe that you and Apostle's relationship is solidly grounded on the foundation of your faith. Please tell our listeners why it is so important that both parties be firmly grounded in Christ.
That is so important. You are absolutely right, because if we're not grounded, if you're not grounded, the first time your spouse does something you don't like, you may believe that there's no hope and you may want to leave the marriage. I remember our pastor, before we got married, he would always preach this. He said, those are no two perfect people coming down
exactly.
that aisle. And so you have to be rooted and grounded in God. And if something comes up, you're going to have to take it to Jesus for real. You have to take it to
Amen.
God. Because
Amen.
Only God
That's
knows
good.
How to. Yeah. Instead of
That's
talking
good.
To your friends.
Talk to
because
yourself.
A lot of times a lot of voices get in it. But you
right.
got to hear the
well,
voice.
Well, I want, which brings me to my next question. Apostle, how does your belief in Christ shape your interactions with one another? Please tell our listeners why Christ should shape our interactions with our spouses.
God has to be the foundation.
Thank you. There it is.
Mm-hmm. He has to be the foundation, number one. Number two, you know the word.
Yes, come on now.
And the word tells you that, yes, the husband is the head.
Yes.
He's the priest of the house, but don't take it overboard. Your wife
right.
is your she's your helpmeet, and
right.
with your helpmeet, and with you loving Christ, as you love Jesus, God loved us that He sent His Son.
Yes.
His Son said we're to love one another as Christ loved us,
That's
as
right.
Christ loved the church. So
Amen.
Being the head. You respect your wife. I respect
That's
my
good.
Wife because God told me He was sending someone straight from His heart.
Yeah.
And if
Amen.
If I lift my hand to my wife, I'm lifting my hand to God.
That's right.
If
Amen.
If I fuss at my wife. I'm fussing at God. That's how our
That's
relationship
good.
Between our spouse and with God
That's
has
right.
to be.
Thank you. Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you, Apostle. Our next statement has to do with positive communication. And communication is at the heart and soul of every vibrant relationship. And, you know, successful husbands and wives, they know this. So they will prioritize time to communicate. And they will, you know, they'll be, when they do communicate, they'll do it openly. They'll do it with empathy. And they'll do it from a place of deep-hearted connections. They are
yes.
Quick to listen. They are slow to speak. They ask questions. And they try to enter one another's thoughts and feelings. Prophetess, please explain to our young couples that are about to enter into marriage how important it is for a couple, as you alluded to earlier, to simply sit down and talk to one another.
It is so important. Now, I can say this about Apostle. I can go to him at almost any time and say, dear, I got to ask you something. I wanted to say something. He will click off the TV, turn and look me exactly in my eyes. So it's important. Whatever is important to your spouse has to be important to you. And it's so important to communicate that and to listen. While the other one is communicating, listen, if you don't agree with it, there's a word of wisdom from God, or you can just say, honey, dear, whatever you call it, let's pray about that. Let's pray.
Amen.
About it.
That's good.
Communication. And I like what you said. It's a deep-hearted connection.
Yes, ma'am.
Your heart has to have a passion for your spouse and compassion.
Yes.
So it's important.
Amen.
That it has to be important to you and important to listen.
That's right. All right. That was good. Now, Apostle, please explain to our young couples that are entering marriage how important it is to really understand each other. You, as you spoke earlier, you were saying, you know, I can start a sentence and my wife can finish it. That's because you have a deep understanding of one another. Please tell our young listeners how important, just how important that is.
How important it is to understand one another?
Yes.
That is the key. That is the key to success.
All right.
That's the key to the marriage. That's the key that unlocks the door. It's very important to understand how the man understands how his wife is. And the wife understanding how her husband is. And you understand one another. When you begin marriage, when you get married and that you go on a honeymoon and then you start you start this journey, you're going to learn one another.
That's the
bottom line is that the scripture says the conclusion of the matter. You must understand each other. It's
that's
very
right.
Important.
Amen.
That you do. If you don't get to a place to understand your spouse, the enemy will come in like a flood.
Yes.
He will come in and he will come in and tiptoe through the tulips.
Well, that leads me exactly to my next statement, which is healthy conflict management. Couples who go the distance recognize that spousal conflict is inevitable. They know that the secret of their success lies in the way that they handle their conflicts, and they embrace the concept that God uses this bumping and jarring to cause them to grow, as in Proverbs 27:17. They keep short accounts and never let the sun go down on their anger. Hallelujah. So, prophetess, how important do you think a holy game plan is for reconciliation in a marriage?
Now, you said how important do I feel that what is?
Having a holy game plan for reconciliation is in a marriage.
Yes, that's important. Because as Apostle said, or maybe you said it, not to let the sun go down upon your wrath. And you've got to make it clear to your spouse when you first get married, when you're married, before you get married, that we're not going to go to bed and have a chip on our shoulder against each other.
Okay.
Even if your spouse doesn't quite understand something, then you've got to be the one to go before God and ask God to put it in their heart or open it up to them where they really understand, where they understand you. And God will do just that. He loves us
that
much. Yes.
Yo, that's good. Oh, thank you. That's good, Prophet. I know I got one. This one, I know Apostle, he's going to answer this one right away. Apostle, how important is it now for the godly couple to forgive even if they are unable to forget?
Okay.
How important is it to forgive even if they can't forget?
Yes. How important is it to forgive even if we can't forget?
It's important to forgive.
That's right.
It's also important to forget.
Right?
Because God sent his son, and he died on the cross that we might be reconciled back to him. And his son paid a price for us. And God took our sin and balled it up and threw it in the sea of forgetfulness.
Of forgetfulness. Amen. There it is. Hallelujah.
He threw it from as far as the east is to the west. So if
That's
God
right.
can forgive us of our unrighteousness, our sin, then we must forgive our spouse.
That's right. Amen.
And ask forgive. God to help us to forget.
Amen. That's beautiful. Go ahead, Apostle.
Because if you say that you forgive, then down the road,
don't bring it back
something
up.
Something will come up, and you will have not forgot that past thing, and that enemy will come, and he will stick a pin in you, and poke you, and make you bring up that past, and cause a conflict in the marriage. So it's very important to not only forgive, but it's also
but to forget.
Important to forget.
Amen. The next topic we have is a statement we have is cherish. Successful marriages are made up of two people who intentionally treasure and honor one another. They do this by keeping a conscious account of things they value about each other. Just as Jesus established the Lord's Supper as a memorial of his redeeming work on the cross, a healthy couple will commemorate the blessings of their relationship in a tangible, physical way or with gifts, celebrations, and meaningful mementos of a significant occasion. So, Prophetess Kathleen,
I
know the answer. This is one of them I knew I was going to enjoy the answer to. Why were you attracted to Apostle? What do you like and admire the most about him?
Well, first I want to say this. In my seeking God, God let me know that he was the one. And
Amen.
What I really liked about him is that he loved God. I had already said to God years before that I wanted to be married to someone that was either I don't like to call it level, but with me with God.
Right.
And not somebody that I'd have to drag along and as the apostle would say, put a diaper on and burp and tell him, come on, we got to go to church. So I really liked that about him. And he was always polite with me. And his
Amen.
Mother explained that she taught her sons how to treat, you know, the ladies, what they had to do.
Yes.
And
Amen.
Yes. And so
now
that did it
for you.
Well,
now Apostle. Now,
yes.
Do you regard your beautiful wife as a treasure, and how do you express that to her?
I regard her as a treasure. Because God was so gracious. God was so loving. God was so kind that he gave her to me.
Hallelujah. That's beautiful.
He said, I'm sending you someone straight from my heart.
Hallelujah.
So I respect her and I treasure her. Everything that she says, everything that she does, I treasure it. I got to a place that when she opens her mouth and tells me something I need to do or I need that's good for me, I take it in consideration.
Amen. That's good, Apostle. That's good. Our next statement is about being community-minded. Healthy couples realize that they need other people and other people need them. They are intentional about connecting regularly with other like-minded couples. They stay engaged with nurturing communities of all kinds and make a special point of maintaining an active involvement in a local church or in a ministry where they have many opportunities to give and receive spiritual support. So I'm going to start with Apostle this time. Apostle, how important is it to have spiritual help and encouragement when it comes to maybe seeking advice in the marriage?
It's very important that you're hooked up with your in a ministry. It's very important that you have a pastor that knows who you are. When we first got married, our pastor knew. Before we got married, the pastor was a shepherd, and he was watching. And so when we called on him to tell him that we wanted to get married, he said, I already knew.
Amen.
He was a shepherd. He was watching.
Yes.
And he knew.
Yes.
But the key thing is this. He knew who she was because she was
right.
A member. She's part
right.
of that ministry. But I came
Amen.
From another ministry. And he knew. Holy Ghost told him who I was.
Amen, and that's good.
And so he knew, and he put his stamp of approval on the marriage.
Hallelujah, that's good. That's good. Prophetess Kathleen, how important is it for older married couples to mentor a younger, less experienced couple? In your opinion?
Oh, that's very important. Not only that, sometimes older couples are just waiting for the
yes.
younger people to advise them. Sometimes, and been there, done that. And that's
right.
what, see, older couples have the knowledge and the wisdom because they've been there, they've done that, they've seen this, they've seen that. And it's very important for us to shed some light on whatever the couples, and God will give it to us as we're seeking God. And first of all,
Amen.
We have to be example to the young people, the example to those that aren't married yet, an example to the younger couples. So the mentoring is very, very important. For younger people, don't ever think that because somebody's hair is gray, they don't know what they're talking about.
All right.
We've been here. We've walked the journey. You have to understand that we cannot tell you about what it's like in your 20s But we can, because we've been there. And
that's right.
And so it's important for us to mentor and encourage the young couple. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a few minutes left, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow each one of you to have approximately 5 minutes and just leave your parting words with the couples for tonight, and we will pick up the rest of this on our next program, and then we will take we'll take comments from our listening audience. But Prophetess Kathleen, you have approximately 5 minutes. Let the listeners anything you want to tell them in your own way.
Praise God. God is so good. The main thing is to seek God, couple. Seek Him together. Seek Him before you get married. Apostle, when he was Brother Holloway, before we got married, he would call me every morning at 6:30, and we would pray together. And it's very important to have a relationship with Jesus first, because he's going to be first in your life and your direction in your marriage. When you have a problem, if you have a problem in your marriage, it's going to be the Lord to go to. Don't just say, oh, well, they don't understand. No, get together and pray. And husbands, males, be the one to step forth and introduce that with your mate or with your spouse or the person that's going to be your wife, that we are going to pray together. And if we have anything that we're doubting or don't understand, we're going to take it to the altar. We're going to take it to the throne of grace. So,
yes.
And that's all. Just be very prayerful before God with each other, and be kind and submit to one another, like the scripture said. They submitted one to the other in the fear of
Amen.
God. Enjoy
that's
that
beautiful.
Marriage. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Apostle.
First of all, men. As prophet has said, the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yeah.
Seek God. Just because you see somebody that looks good may not be good at all. Because she looks good on the outside, she may be a booger bear on the inside. And likewise for the women. Because he looks good doesn't mean he's good for you.
Yes.
But seek God, you both seek God, and ladies, wait upon the Lord. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. God will send him. Yes, you can ask God for who you would like, but wait on the Lord. Let God send him, because he will be on your level. He will be
Amen.
The one that God would have you to be.
Amen.
And don't be in a hurry.
Amen.
But let God show you the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
Let him show you the way. When you finally find her, you allow God to lead you and guide you to her, and you do not, men, do you? You do not put your hand on her.
Amen.
Don't you put your hand on her. I didn't touch my wife. Only time I touched her, before we got married, only time I touched her, I touched her elbow to help her cross the street.
Yes.
I did not touch her.
Amen.
I did not touch her at all. So be careful. Be careful for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So we look to God. We look to God and your vows, and you keep your vows. Keep your vows. Because something came along, oh, she's too this and she's too that. Oh, I can't stand. No, you better go to God. You better die to your flesh. You better let God fix it. Because if you ask God for, and all of a sudden something comes up, you better let God fix it. And also,
amen.
I want to add this. This is very important to couples. Keep your business to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't go to your mama. Don't go to your grandmama. Don't go to your mother-in-law talking about your situation. You go to God. Don't go, ladies, don't go to your girlfriend. Because if you do, you will not have a husband. You will be married to a girlfriend. Because girlfriend will see an opportunity to step in. Be careful. Go to God. When you have a situation,
amen.
Go to God.
Amen.
You go to your pastor. You go to God.
Amen.
And let God fix it. You lift that person up. You lift your spouse up. God, this is the situation. God, I don't know what to do. God, you got to give me some wisdom. Lord, I need your help right now, God. I need your help. I need you to intervene, God. In Jesus' name.
Yes, amen, Apostle. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. All right, we have approximately 14 minutes in this broadcast left. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open it up to our listeners and all the saints of God who are regulars here on the Spirit Alive Network. We're talking about marriage and the godly marriage. Yes, the godly marriage is a Christ-centered marriage. Another thing you have to remember, saints of God, when you're married, it takes a lot of grace, a lot of mercy. Marriages are clothed in grace and mercy. You should always play to your husband or wife's strengths and not their weaknesses, okay? You accentuate the positive and negate the negative, okay? You, as a prophet has said, you will spend a lot of time in prayer and in your word. But you should also learn how to have a plan of reconciliation. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, because divorce is not an option when you are living the holy marriage. Now, listen to me, all of you single folks. I have some single people listening. Hallelujah. Let God, as the apostle said, let God send you that mate, okay? Remember, ladies, a godly man will never ask you to do anything that will compromise your walk with the Lord. And remember, him telling you that God said you're going to be his wife, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. And ladies, some of y'all caught up because some man is a bishop or apostle or this or that, just because they wear that title, that doesn't mean they're great people. Don't get enamored with the pastor or the bishop. And that's for women too. You know, that goes vice versa. Don't get excited about that. Wait and see. Well, God, how much Jesus you actually see in that person. Anybody can run the game on you. People have religious sticks, and they run them all the time. Oh, yeah. They just go from one woman to another trying to run that same old tired stick. Or that woman goes from the same man letting herself be drugged from one man to another.
Yeah, come on
so
now.
We have to live righteously at all times.
Yeah.
And until you are married with a ring on your finger, you should not be shacking with a man.
Okay.
You shouldn't, because see, God ordained marriage. He didn't ordain shacking, okay? Let me just get that out there for you.
Come on now, come on.
He ordained marriage, it's not shacking. So you just need to be mindful. And how you carry yourself has everything to do with it. Ladies, make a man, you know, you be so deep off in Jesus that a man has to, he has to know Jesus just to find you, okay? Men, like Apostle said, they can look oh so beautiful on the outside, but they can be rotten to the core on the inside. So you just need to remember to go to God about your relationships. We will be having more installations of Till Death Do Us Part. I want to thank Apostle Holloway and a Prophetess Holloway, and now I'm going to take comments from you, our listening audience, with the remaining time. I see that Apostle Zeta is in the room tonight. Apostle, would you like to have a word, ma'am? She must be on mute. Well, while we wait on Mother Apostle,
I'm sorry. I'm right here. I was on mute because I have little ones tonight until 8:15. Anyway, yes, that was most beautiful. I enjoyed hearing everything that I heard because it came by the word of God. And they sound like the perfect marriage to me. And I have seen them, I have witnessed them together, so I know that what I saw was a good marriage, a great marriage that they have. And they are sincere and they're committed. And I can tell that they understand one another. And Apostle said that is the key. And I would certainly think so, that that would be the key. When a couple, a married couple, can really understand one another. And that they can work out conflicts and all of those things. They talked about forgiveness and forgetting, not lingering on with something that, you know, didn't mean anything anyway. So
right.
I really enjoyed listening to them. And
amen.
And I was not surprised by anything that I heard because, you know, I have witnessed them as a married
amen.
Couple.
Amen. Thank you,
praise
Apostle.
God. Amen.
All right, Mother Matty. Amen. Come on in the room, Mother Matty.
Amen. Hi, Bishop Cook. Hi to everyone at Spirit the Live family. God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you all. I tell you, Apostle Holloway and his wife, God bless you both. God bless you. And like, you know, like my mom always said, when God puts you together with your mate, nothing's going to separate you but death.
Nope, but death.
Sometimes death don't separate you because I believe
I know
in reincarnation.
That's right.
I believe in reincarnation, and I believe our loved ones, when they leave here, they come back and check on us. So, you know, when one mate is gone with the Lord, he or she, I do believe they'll come back and check on their on their mate. So I believe not even death separates you. But I love to see I love to see two good-hearted people together and people that love the Lord. And with a marriage like that, when you love the Lord and you fear the Lord, you fear Him and lean and depend on Him, your husband and your wife, God has put you together. The marriage cannot be no better. It cannot be no better.
Amen.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Because some people have nothing but money. Nothing but money. But they're not happy.
But no
they
love.
Personal life, they're not happy. But when God puts you together like that, you know, nothing gonna separate you, but death don't separate you. So that's God's blessing, and God bless you, Apostle Holloway and Mrs. Holloway, Prophetess Holloway. God bless you, and I thank God for you for preaching God's word. Thank you, and you know, enlightening us and giving us wisdom. So I thank you, and the message that I heard, I'm very pleased. As always, God bless you all, and I love you all.
We love you too, Mother Mac T. Hallelujah. We love you also. Praise the living God. And I agree with Mother Mac T. I was married for 28 beautiful years before the Lord called my husband home. And, you know, my husband is here with me because as I look back over my life, and the time I spent with my husband, I can really say that I love my husband more right now than I did when he was alive. Because, see, I get to sit and reflect on what an awesome human being he was. I get to sit and reflect on how loving and kind he was. I get to sit and reflect on how his heart was turned toward me. I believe that every day that man got up, he was determined to keep his promise to God. On our wedding day, he stood before the Lord and he said, "Father God, if you make her, allow her to become my wife, I will see to it that she becomes everything that you want her to be." My husband took his last breath keeping that promise. And every day that God gave him breath during our marriage, I believe that my husband truly said, "Father God, what can I do today to make my wife's life a little bit better, a little happier? Yeah. What can I do to bring a smile to her face?" And that's the kind of marriage I wish for all of you out there listening. Someone that loves you, that loves God, whose heart is turned toward you, who is selfless toward you. The things that are important to you are important to them. Simply because they love you. So I pray that you will keep God first in your marriages. For those of you who are contemplating marriage, as a prophetess said, please seek God's face in that. And for those of you that are even married and you think you're pretty close to divorce, before you do anything brash, take it to the Lord. Take it to Jesus. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook for Till Death Do Us Part. I want to thank my beautiful guest, Apostle Edwin and Prophetess Kathleen Holloway. I want to thank our beautiful speakers tonight, Mother Matty Scott and Apostle Zeta Flowers. We pray that you will continue, hallelujah, to follow us here at the Spirit Alive Network. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from your our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that will you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone. God bless you.
Good night.
And happy honeymooning forever.
God bless you. Love you. Love you all. Love you all. God bless you all.
Love you too.
Love you. Good night. Stay safe.